Father, we are grateful today for the Lord Jesus Christ, for the privilege of being able to pray together another day, for the opportunity of looking into the Word of God once again. Open the Word, grant that we may be able to lay hold of the truth of it, and grant our Father, we pray, that understanding of the Word which will be and bring rich blessing to our hearts. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bibles today, will you open them, please, to the book of the Revelation, chapter 4, that portion of the Word of God we are studying together. We have learned that in the fourth chapter of the book of Revelation, we have an incident in the life of the Apostle John, which we have suggested to you typifies that event through which the church of the Lord Jesus Christ will go, known as the rapture, when the church will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. It was typified, we said, by a door being opened in heaven, and the voice saying to John, "Come up hither." When John made the ascent into heaven, a number of things met his eyes. And we are going to notice those things now, because they will represent what you and I will have the opportunity of seeing when we too are caught up to meet the Lord in the air. So will you notice, please, Revelation chapter 4, verse 2, John said, "And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven." A little bit later, he's going to talk about this throne. A little bit later, he's going to talk about what is around the throne. But before he can talk about the throne, and before he can talk about what is around the throne, his eyes are riveted on the one who is sitting on the throne. And who is it? The Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ opens the door. He makes possible our return to heaven, and then he sits on the throne. The first person upon whom we fasten our gaze, as the songwriter has said, is Jesus first of all. How did John see him? Well, not in a way you can paint him. There is no description of the Lord Jesus Christ that could be picked up by the artist's brush or the poet's words. This is rightfully so. We are so wedded to what we can see that we might make an image and carry it with us and so miss the blessing of the constant presence of the Lord. How did John describe him? He said he was like a jasper stone, and he was like a sardine stone. As I looked at him, I was reminded of something John said, and every Jew who had his ear tuned to what John was saying would say, "Oh yes, that's right," for what John had in mind was the first and the last stones on the breastplate of the high priest of Israel. Much that we are going to find in the book of the Revelation now will find its roots in the Old Testament, because the church is gone, and the major portion of this is going to be addressed to the Jews, from Revelation 4 through Revelation 19. Every Jew knew what John was talking about. A sardine stone was a blood-red stone, the very first stone on the breastplate of the high priest. The very last stone, a jasper stone, was one clear as crystal, very similar to our diamond. Those stones were there for a purpose. The red stone, you read this in Exodus chapter 28, the red stone was typical of the blood of the sacrificial lamb. The clear stone, the jasper stone, was typical, or the sardine stone, was typical of the victory that was won when all the battles were over. The first stone represented a person, the first son of Jacob. His name was Reuben. The last stone represented a person, the last son of Jacob. His name was Benjamin. Those names are significant because Reuben means "Behold the Son," S-O-N. And Benjamin means "Behold my strength," with the son at my right hand, or the son of my strength. Are you observing closely? If you are, you will notice that there is a reversal in the order of these stones. In Exodus chapter 28, the sardine stone was first, and the jasper stone is last. But in Revelation 3, the jasper stone is first, and the Sardian stern is last. Is there a mistake? No. Rather than a mistake, an accurate interpretation of the truth. Because when we read Exodus chapter 28, we are reading about an experience on the earth. It is yet to be. The promise of the Son to die for us, the Sardian stone, and the promise of the Son to rule and to reign for us, the Jasper stone. But now, in heaven, and we are looking back instead of forward, the last thing that attracts the eye of John is a reigning Christ. But always before us, as we are going to see before we are through, is the reminder that there could not be a reigning Christ if there had not been a Christ who died and rose again. Personally, I am looking forward to the opening of that door, and I am looking forward to the first glimpse that will meet my eye, the glimpse of the one who died for me and who lives to keep me. And I trust that you will find, too, when you look at the throne, the same person in all of his wonderful splendor and glory as he sits upon the throne for you. Now, we have looked at the person who is on the throne. I think that we should point out, after John had feasted his eyes upon him, he began to look around and examine the surroundings in which the throne was set. And he saw a number of things. Let's begin to notice what he saw today. If you look at verse 3 again, and he that sat to look upon, like a jasper and a sardian stone. And then in verse 4, and there, or the latter part of verse 3 rather, there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. Round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment. And they had in their hands, they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunders and voices. There were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 living creatures, full of eyes before and behind. And the first living creature was like a lion, the second living creature like a calf, the third living creature had a face as a man, and the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. And the 4 living creatures had each of them 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth for ever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne, and worship him that liveth for ever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are, and they were created. If you were observing closely now, as we read these verses of Scripture, you will see that John saw 2 classes of things. First of all, he noticed people. I'm using that term in a very broad sense, without any reference to whether they were earthly or heavenly. He noticed the people who were round about the throne, and then he noticed some of the props, shall we say, that were related to the throne, or some of the things that were in the throne room of heaven. If you will notice the people with me first, by mention, because we're not going to have time to discuss them this morning today, he saw 24 elders sitting on 24 thrones. Each elder on the throne, for that's the meaning of the word seat. Now, who were these 24 elders? Somebody says, oh, well, have you not heard? This is the book of Revelation, and you're not supposed to know who they are. You're not supposed to know what the book of Revelation means. We do not hold to that. We believe that you can understand everything of the book of, in the book of the Revelation, and these 24 elders will be identified in due season. Then, you will notice in verse 5, the presence of the Holy Spirit in his sevenfold manifestation, referred to here as the seven spirits of God. We've already come in contact with this manifestation of the Holy Spirit, you will remember, in chapter 1. That's the reason why we know who he is. Then you will notice, in addition to the 24 elders and the blessed Holy Spirit who will be in the throne room when we arrive, four living creatures, like a lion, like a calf, like a man, and like an eagle. Who are these four living creatures? What is their purpose? What do they represent? Why are they in the throne room of heaven? Well, we'll see in due season. Now, we would like to call to your attention the things, not the animate things, but the inanimate things that are presented in the throne room of heaven. You will notice in verse 3, the first thing that attracted John's attention was a rainbow. In verse 5, the second thing that attracted his attention were the thunderings and the lightnings and the voices that proceeded from the throne of God. And the third thing that attracted his attention was the sea of glass, like crystal, that was before the throne of God. Will you keep in mind that when we began our study of the book of the Revelation, I reminded you that every symbol in the book which needs an explanation is explained either in the book itself or somewhere else in the Word of God. With that thought in mind, we call to your attention the first thing that attracted John's attention, a rainbow round about the throne, in sight, like unto an emerald. Because our time is gone, we challenge you to be thinking about what this rainbow means. And the next time we meet together, we'll discuss it with you. In the meantime, remember to pray for us. Remember to write to us, Box 545, in the city of Abilene, Texas, zip code 79604. And may God bless each one of you today.